occurred. The black water seemed to hover around him again, and his arms recalled the strain of holding on to the rigging.
I thought we had an understanding between us, Albert. I must point out, your present behavior is less than exemplary, to say the least.
This old man talks a lot, doesn't he?
Cobb stepped behind Doc and grabbed a handful of the old man's hair.
Cobb, I didn't want him hurt.
You shouldn't have brought him here. I don't know that I can trust him.
Well, I do.
Might I suggest that you have a most peculiar way of showing it?
It's your own bastard fault, Cobb. If you hadn't started to tell him about the plague, I wouldn't have had to draw down on him. We could have taken our time about telling him proper and all.
What do you mean about not telling him about the plague? Shit, everybody around here knows about Kirkland's plague.
Doc don't, and neither do his friends. Doesn't that tell you something?
Cobb kicked at the back of Doc's knees. Still holding a handful of hair, Cobb bent to bring his face close to Doc's.
That right, gray hair? You don't know anything about the plague?
I know about several plagues, sir. Name the particular one to which you're referring.
Kirkland's plague! The one he's infected everybody in Hazard with.
I must admit, that is one with which I am not immediately familiar.
Taking advantage of Cobb's proximity, Doc swung his head forward. Blood spurted from Cobb's nose as he reared back.
However, I must object to such rough usage.
Doc got to his feet and grabbed the sword stick. Doc glanced at Albert before moving forward.
Lay on, Macduff, and damned be him that first cries, hold, enough!
Feel the crazy old fucker! He broke my goddamn nose!
Doc stepped toward the dwarf, assuming a fencer stance, the sword blade moving into position before him.
I'll not allow my life to be ripped from me so untimely, and my blade go unsullied.
He watched the door from the periphery of his vision. Two men moved into place, guns in their hands as well. He could never make it through them.
Doc, I didn't mean any harm. I just didn't want you to go acting stoop when you heard about the plague.
Slowly, Albert lowered his guns. He spread his arms away from his sides, then walked forward until his throat was wedged tight against the sword blade.
I wouldn't chill you. Wouldn't let anybody I know chill you. I owe you and your companions my life. God's truth on that.
His Adam's apple bobbed against the sword point, starting a thin line of blood that ran down his neck.
I just wanted to get your attention. Stick me if you want to.
I have killed many a man in my day, Albert. But I have always known the why of it. I shall know the why of it before I take your life as well. However, you, Cobb, shall not afford the same liberties.
Damn you, Albert, for bringing this man here! I'll be a triple-fucked monkey if I don't chill you myself!
Cobb took a step forward.
I shall trouble to ask you not to do that.
Cobb's lips were coated with crimson stains. The other men in the room trained their weapons on Doc.
I don't believe you gentlemen are any too willing to fire your weapons in the confines of this vill. Otherwise, I would have never made it across the threshold. And that, I believe, gentlemen, is a double ace on the line.
I'll leave him alone! Albert, what are you gonna do if he's just somebody Kirkland sent up to trip us up?
Kirkland figures he's got nothing to fear from us. Liberty knew I spent my free time here, and what Liberty knew about the inside of this vill was exactly what Kirkland knew. They ignored you even before I came along. You're no threat to Kirkland by yourself, but maybe with the help of Doc and his friends. Kirkland's got the plague working for him, and he knows that. Anybody who doesn't like what he's doing in Hazard, well, they get a berth on the last train west.
If you do not mind my asking, what exactly is this plague you persist in mentioning?
All anybody knows is that any man, woman, or child who wanders out of Hazard for more than 2 days' travel dies from the plague.
How long does it take inside the vill?
Well, nobody dies inside the vill.
If it is a plague, then there should be an attrition within the vill as well.
There isn't. Kirkland sees to that.
How?
Man gives out shots. You know, needles in the arm, that kind of shit.
A cure? Well, if he's giving out cures, any of you could get up and leave at any time you wanted to.
Now, that's not the way it works, Doc. Kirkland's inoculations buy you only a little more time. They don't cure you.
But that makes precious little sense. It would be much more difficult for a medical person to design a partial cure than one that would totally counteract the affliction.
Yeah, but that's what Kirkland did. Now, come on downstairs and we'll talk about it.
Downstairs? I thought we were on the bottom floor.
Doc glanced around, noticing how uneasy Cobb was acting. Keeping the big man in sight, he crossed the room and took up the Lama from the table where it had been left.
Got a basement level. Show him, Cobb.
Fucked if I will. Should have never shown you.
Cobb, you've been a good thinker, a good planner, but you haven't seen these people operate, and I have. Maybe they're our only chance of getting out of here.
Cobb stared hard at Doc, then reluctantly backed down. He walked to the rear of the room and stood behind the counter. The back wall held a carved fish head. Cobb picked up a yardstick and rammed it down the fish's open mouth. Cobb grabbed a lantern off the counter.
Well, come on, then.
He took a step forward and disappeared from view. Doc rounded the counter and looked down at the floor. Cobb climbed through a recessed area, moving slow with the lantern. Doc looked at the inky shadows waiting below and thought about his current position again. He hadn't had the upper hand in his dealings with the other men, but in the narrow tunnel through the bottom of the floor, he would be totally at their mercy. Cobb kept climbing. In a short while, he reached the bottom of the ladder and held the lantern up.
Well, come on then, you wanted to know.
He twisted the wick, turning up the light, and the yellow-gold illumination spun out through the hurricane glass, opening up into a cavernous space by comparison to the narrow tunnel. Where there had been a few shelves with tattered paperbacks, hardcovers, and magazines littering the shelves on the first floor, the hidden floor below seemed covered with books. There had to have been thousands of books in all.
By the three Kennedys!
All thoughts of walking into a trap left Doc. He stepped through the hole and followed the ladder down. In the forested area, Dee moved quietly and Panther quick. He kept the Browning high power in his fist as he slunk through the brush where the man had vanished. Dean wasn't as good in the brush as Jack, but then nobody was. It scared him some, creeping through the branches and bushes, wondering if he was as good as the man he hunted, but he knew that Jack was counting on him. The man he pursued wasn't as disciplined. The boy turned slowly, letting his weight shift to keep his line tight against his chosen cover. He brought up his gun, following its lead. Once he had the weight shifted properly, making no noise at all, he completed the turn. Dean caught movement in his peripheral vision. He stared at the edges of the shadow that drifted into view in front of him, rather than at it. Even before his father had found him, Sharona had taught him the value of skylining. Metal glinted in the shadow's fist. Dee knew it was the rifle the man carried. He sighted above it, taking another step closer to get around low-hanging branches that might have deflected his shot. The moon moved into a clearer space of the sky between scudding clouds, and the man spotted Dean. He whirled and brought up the rifle. Coolly, Dean moved into the clearest position he found, his finger tightening on the Browning's trigger. He felt the heat of a bullet sizzle past his face as he squeezed the Browning's trigger. Dean moved forward, the Browning leveled at his target. Dean steadied his gun as the man struggled to bring up his weapon. The corpse gave a spasmodic jerk and released the rifle. Staying careful and alert, Dean reached the corpse and kicked the weapon aside. The missing fragments of the man's head assured that he'd never be back in this life, but Dean had seen too many people with a strain of muti blood in them that rewired nervous systems. Folks who should have been dead got stubborn about it, like a snake with its head chopped off. He stripped away two handguns as well. The stink of blood filled the air. Mosquitoes descended in a swarm, settling over the bloody stumps of the man's skull. Nightcrawlers slithered through the brush and across the ground.
Dean?
Yeah.
Dean went through the corpse's pockets, his quick fingers identifying objects before his eyes could cut through the darkness.
You chilling?
That's an ace on the line.
Dean examined a handful of 9mm ammo, then shoved it into a pocket.
You do, you tell. Get your ass shot if you don't yell out.
Forgot.
Dean continued his search, turning up a fancy vinyl case not much bigger than his hand.
That read real nice on your grave marker. Randy pretty pissed off to have to ride it, though.
Okay, I get the message. Get off my back.
Inside the case, a small collection of feathered darts lay on a sponge pad, sheathed by leather straps.
Hot pipe! I found something here!
What?
Darts for those compressed air guns!
Dean held one up against the full face of the moon. The liquid trapped inside the thin glass walls glowed vile amber.
Tranks, you get shot with one, make you go to sleep.
I don't think so.
Maybe we got something a little nastier here. Those men opened up on us without warning. I don't think they were intending to take us back to Hazard.
Got one here. Ask him.
Be there in a minute.
Dean finished up his search, then studied a box of 9mm reloads and a metal box of self-lights.
We'll ask him together.
Dean picked up the two handguns he tossed aside and discovered that one of them was a compressed air pistol. He examined it in the moonlight. The pistol was a single action, requiring a dart to be loaded into the breech each time it was fired. Taking the pistol and the vinyl case of darts, he went back to join Jack and his hostage.
Anybody else?
No, just him. Cover him!
Dean leveled the Browning, making the man flinch.
Sure, I got him.
He tries to run? Shoot his legs or his dick, not his head or chest. Only need him to live for a little while.
Jack shoved the hostage to the ground. The horse tried to run, but Jack kept it under control. Dean locked the Browning squarely on the man's crotch. The captive scrabbled at the ground, trying to find purchase to pull himself up.
No!
Oh, goddamn!
The man sat up to grab himself with both hands. Jack gentled the horse again and hopped down. He tied the reins to a tree, then returned to look at the hostage. The man brought his hands up with a look of perplexion on his face. There was no blood on his hands, but clearly the 9mm round had cored a hole through the loose folds of his pants.
Missed, can you believe it?
Maybe small. Splinter dick.
Jack crouched beside the man, a bloodthirsty grin spreading across his scarred face. He held one of the leaf-bladed throwing knives in his hand.
Dead right?
Fuck you!
Already got it figured that you aren't equipped for that. Could be you piss off my friend here. He'll use that knife to do a conversion on you so you're all set to receive instead of give, if you catch my drift.
Piece of meat. Cutting can change all day.
Don't cut me.
Answer my questions. You lie, I cut off a piece.
Sure.
Tell us about the darts.
Without hesitation, Jack flicked out the knife and cut across the knuckles of one of the man's hands.
What did you do that for?
You hesitate, gives you time to think of a lie. I want a lie. I ask you a question today, come back for answer tomorrow. Tell me about the darts.
They got the plague in them. They got the plague in them, and that's all I know.
Holding his coffee sub, JB looked at his host.
What plague are you talking about, Phillips?
Kirkland got everything organized here in Hazard. Invited folks in. Then he kind of picked and chose who was staying and who was moving on. Took him about a year to get it all straightened away with who was what.
JB sopped cornbread into the soup at the bottom of his plate.
Once he had mostly everybody here that he wanted, Kirkland announced that the plague had spread. Had a few poor bastards found out in the forest that died of it.
My husband died of the plague.
I'm sorry to hear that, Anna. How many folks died in the ville?
None.
You find that interesting?
Bastard right we did. Found it more than interesting. Found it downright fucking suspicious.
What about the bodies? Were you allowed to claim your son's body?
Allowed to see it. Some of the sheriff's deputies found Eddie out in the forest.
What was he doing there?
Eddie got it in his fool head that he could maybe outrun the plague. We've been watching Kirkland and his people all the time. He's got a roving band of thugs under a man named Liberty that keeps most folks clear of the ville.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
They've all been consigned to crow meat this morning. Should be little bitty crow piles squirted out all over the ground now.
I heard you came in with Albert. That's what set me to suspicioning so much.
Good thing Kirkland isn't as suspicious as you.
And if he was of a mind to be?
Yeah, reckon we'd find out if we could feed a few more crows before we got out of the ville.
JB held up his cup as the coffee pot made the circle of the table.
We got more to eat.
JB thought briefly of Mildred, probably sleeping back in the room at the hotel. He wondered if she'd eaten yet, or was waiting for him to come back. Then he decided she'd probably eat before he got back. It didn't look like he was going to be leaving anytime too soon. He pushed his plate forward.
What made Eddie take off out of the ville?
Took off in the middle of the night. Figured maybe he could make it. Every now and then you hear stories about somebody who made it out of Hazard.
Any truth to it?
That's what we were going to find out. Eddie slipped off after his inoculation. Figured he'd know something damn quick. 2 days later, they brought his body back.
How long had he been dead?
Animals and insects had been at him. Kind of hard to figure.
Maybe as much as both of those days he was gone?
Maybe.
Did you get to check the body over?
No. Kirkland always says the bodies of the reclaimed plague victims are wrapped all special. Look like mummies time he's through with them.
So what could you see?
Eddie's face was all blotched up. Black looking.
Radburn will do that sometimes.
Poison Radburn. Damn plague is what it was.
Kirkland come around asking any questions?
Oh, yeah. Wondered what Eddie was doing out in the forest. Told him I didn't know that him and Anna had a fight. A young man during something like that forgets his good sense.
He believe you?
Hell no. That's when we started barricading ourselves in here a little tighter.
Kirkland doesn't want you to leave.
Me and mine, we were one of the first families in Hazard. Time was we took a certain pride in that. No longer.
Plenty of work here for a man who knows weapons.
Yeah, but I can't say that I see you hanging out a shingle anywhere and settling down.
Too much traveling with a trader. Fiddle-footedness gets in a man's blood after a while. Always wandering.
Well, you and your companion surely wandered in the wrong direction this time.
Low on ammo. We didn't have much choice.
How come you didn't know about the plague?
Liberty didn't answer a whole lot of questions before he caught the last train to the coast.
If you wander around in this area, you'll find people talk about the plague. Still get some folks in from time to time for trading. But it's generally those who know Kirkland's got the plague under control who show up. Doesn't set right that you wouldn't know about it.
We've been running low to cover. Before we got here, we just left a whole peck of trouble.
Well, J.B. Dix, I'll promise you one thing. That trouble that you left, it isn't anything like what you got on your hands now. If Kirkland let you and your companions into this ville, it was for a reason. Whether he makes you stay here or ups and chills you people outright when the time comes, remains to be seen.
Also remains to be seen whether he can hold us, or if he can chill us.
I like the way you talk. Let's freshen up that coffee sub and hear some more.
Jack held three of the darts in his hand. Instead of feathers along the back of the shaft, vinyl triangles in red and yellow were designed to act as stabilizers.
Those are plague darts.
What plague?
Their captive was strapped to a tree in a sitting position, held in place by leather thongs that Jack had found among one of the saddle kits.
Kirkland's plague.
Jack squatted on his haunches in front of the man. He flicked one of the leaf-bladed throwing knives across the fingers of his other hand.
Ah! He name it?
Yeah!
That all he did?
Yeah!
Jack glanced at Dean. The boy looked impassive, standing only a few feet away. Dean held one of the captured single-action rifles in his hand, keeping watch over them. With an economy of motion, Jack stabbed the throwing knife into the man's thigh.
Ah!
When the prisoner opened his mouth to scream in pain, Jack yanked the knife from the man's leg and slashed his lips.
You bastard nuke shitters!
Jack moved the knife again, burying the point in the end of the man's nose.
You scream again, I take both your ears off. Understand?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Kirkland's plague. Tell me.
Kirkland made it. Come up with it somehow from some pre-dark book he found. Maybe he just thought of it on his own. Nobody knows.
A plague spreads. Man's gotta be red stoop to go fooling around with something like that.
Yeah, not this plague. It only kills the person gets it shot into him.
Then it's not a plague.
I only know what I was told. Kirkland and Liberty call it a plague. They tell me to call it a plague, I fucking will call it a plague.
Why plague?
To keep the ville in line. Oh, there's a lot of people don't like the way Kirkland runs things. They want to leave the ville, start over again somewhere else. They figure Kirkland can have this one. But he doesn't figure Hazard is worth having without having people to control.
The people in the ville don't know?
No. He always has Liberty schedule a group to keep watch out here. If anyone tries to get away, we take them down. Kirkland's also got people inside the ville who inform on who's thinking about slipping away.
Kirkland controls Liberty?
Sure. He did anyway, until you hard cases came along and killed him.
Does Kirkland know that?
Fucking right he does. He knew that when you got to the ville. Nobody arrives at Hazard without Liberty sending somebody along to say it's okay.
Abbott know that?